老师手比较粉。
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Tonight, you'll hear a dramatic account of the successful investigation into the murder of a 54-year-old bank superintendent named Derek Badley. I say successful because it led to the apprehension of the culprit and the prisoner appearing at the Old Bailey at a trial presided over by Lord Chief Justice Avery. Now, you may wonder why I find it necessary to mention the judge's name. Well, he makes reference to the trial in his autobiography, published some years ago, and so, starting to reread the relative paragraph, I went on to reread the rest of the book. Which brings me to the point that those reaching such eminence as becoming a Lord Chief Justice should not write their own story. Not for lack of literary skill, far from it, but because someone like Avery is bound to devote a great deal of space to the judiciary at the expense of the humanities. And the judge was, above all else, an intensely shrewd and compassionate observer of the human scene. However, let's get back to the story, which I've called Death Has No Pain. London was experiencing a heat wave at the time when the ever-vigilant operations telephoned that the services of the murder squad were required. Carr?
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes, sir.
Call has just come through from 27th Langley Street, Surbiton, sir. Man found shot through the head.
Oh, dear. Never stops, does it, Ops? Name, who found him?
The dead man was named Derek Badley, sir. Well known to the Surbiton man and highly thought of in the district. Found dead by his wife. She telephoned control at exactly 8:22 a.m.
What's the time now, Ops?
8:27, sir.
Oh, exactly 5 minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
Well, fair enough. Well, did she phone the local boys or emergency?
The local, sir, not 999.
I wondered how you managed to get the man's identity so soon.
Yes, sir. Seeing she dialed the local station, who got in touch with control immediately, they've sent down their own man, sir.
What do you mean by own man?
Their own surgeon, sir. Name of Dr. Sampson, sir.
All right. Well, get through to Surbiton. Tell him I'm on my way. Oh, my compliments to this Dr. Sampson. I'd be glad if he stays with the body till I arrive.
Sir, 27 Langley Street.
Well, no ghoulish spectators, I see, thank goodness. Seems as though the news hasn't percolated through to the locals yet. All right, driver. No need to wait. I'll telephone the Arden and require transport.
All right, sir.
Chief Inspector Carr, sir.
Yes, that's right.
Sergeant Woods, M Division, sir.
That's a nasty business, Woods. Do you have many murders in Surbiton?
First one in 5 years, sir. I knew Mr. Badley very well. A nice gentleman you couldn't wish to meet.
No doubt about his being dead, I suppose.
None at all, sir. As you'll see when you get inside, the bullet went right through the poor gentleman's head and right through the window.
The window, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, two shots were fired. It looks as though the killer missed the first time.
Two shots, you say?
Yes, sir. That's what's most mystifying, sir.
Huh? Why?
Well, sir, as you'll see when you go inside, there's a distinct hole on the lower window. And there's another hole where the bullet went through the upper window pane. Quite incredible, really, sir.
Why incredible, Sergeant?
Well, sir, there's no doubt about the murder weapon. It's an American Army issue, 45. It's lying right near the body.
Two shots, you say, and only one bullet. Odd indeed. All right, let's go in. The sergeant led the way as we walked along a short and narrow path, flanked on either side by what Londoners good-naturedly call pocket handkerchief gardens. They were typical of the average middle-class suburban horticultural scene. Every single square inch of soil was utilized. Antirrhinums, daisies, dahlias, petunias, marigolds, nasturtiums, and goldenrod. Nothing in profusion, but the sum total was wholly delightful. As we got to the front door, we were met by a woman in her middle thirties, a woman torn not only with grief, but fear.
Oh, Mrs. Badley, this is Chief Inspector Carr of the murder squad.
I can't believe it. Why? Oh, I'm sorry, do come in. The doctor's in there.
Oh, that's Dr. Sampson of Research, Inspector. The body is in the poor gentleman's study.
And where is the study?
Upstairs on the first floor.
I see that you telephoned the police at exactly 8:22. It's about half an hour ago.
Yes, I could see that Derek was dead. Oh, I feel so guilty.
Why do you feel guilty, Mrs. Bradley?
I should never have left him.
Left him? Were you not here last night?
No, no. Had I been here, this wouldn't have happened.
Chief Inspector Carr, you won't remember me, but I gave medical evidence in the Munro case. The name is Sampson.
Oh, yes, yes, I do remember. I wish we'd met under more pleasant circumstances. Oh, dear. Now, this was occasioned by the sight which met my eyes as I walked into the room that had been converted into a kind of study. Lying face upwards on the carpeted floor was a man in his 50s. A neat hole in his temple told only too clearly the cause of his demise. Alongside the wall, beneath the window, was a modern desk upon which rested numerous documents. Most of them carried the legend London and Metropolitan Bank. By the body was a .45. Because of the closed windows, there was a distinct trace of cordite in the insufferably stuffy atmosphere. Oh, it's hot. Now, don't you think we ought to lift the window open?
I suggested it, but the worthy police sergeant quite rightly vetoed the idea.
Well, look, sir, there's a distinct bullet hole in the lower pane, and there's another bullet hole in the upper pane.
A significance that you didn't want destroyed before my arrival?
Yes, sir. I was careful not to smudge any fingerprints, sir, but I've examined this gun. There's no doubt it's the murder weapon. Where's the other bullet? Two bullets were fired, but only one from this gun. I mean, it's not as though it ricocheted to the two distinct bullet holes. A bullet went through the lower window, and a bullet went through the upper window.
No doubt about that. Oh, well, we'll look for the bullet later.
And what is worrying Sergeant Woods is that there appears to be one bullet fired from the gun.
Can't you... Does poor Derek have to lie?
I told you, darling, the body can't be moved. It's all right, Chief Inspector Carr. You're likely to find out in a matter of minutes that Louise... Mrs. Bradley did not spend the night in this house. Had it not been for the fact that the gun is some distance from the body and that the bullet or bullets went right through poor Derek's head, even through the window pane, I'd have thought he'd committed suicide.
Neville!
It's no good, dear. I'm not just an ordinary doctor, I'm a police surgeon, and within an hour of Chief Inspector Carr commencing his investigations, you and I would have been top of the list of suspects anyway.
The wrist's cold. What's the estimated time of death?
I'd say he'd been dead between 8 and 10 hours.
I see, thank you. Now, you, Mrs. Bradley, telephoned the police at 8:20-odd. You're saying, are you not, Doctor, that this unfortunate gentleman was shot between 10 and 12 last night?
Yes, I am.
Mrs. Bradley, who was on the premises at that time last night? Other than your husband, I mean.
No one.
Not you?
No, you see,
Louise, I suggest you say nothing more until you talk to Mr. Smithers.
And who is Mr. Smithers?
A solicitor, but I've got nothing to hide. I didn't shoot my husband. We quarrelled, but I wouldn't do this to him. He laughed when I said so, but I loved him, even though I wanted to leave him. But I still had a kind of love for him. Well, don't look at me like that, Inspector. It's true. It's true.
Now, you can see, Mrs. Bradley's overwrought. Couldn't she make her statement later?
I'm afraid not, Doctor. Time is of the essence. Now, who owns that gun, Mrs. Bradley? You or your husband?
I've never seen it before.
Sergeant, were the Bradley's license for the possession of firearms?
No, sir. I've taken the number of the gun.
Good. When did you see your husband last?
At about 8 o'clock last night. We just finished dinner. More coffee, dear?
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. In fact, you better make a fresh pot. Helps keep me awake.
Awake? What do you mean?
I've got about 3 hours of checking to do. The 5 branches, reconciliations have to be looked at. Here, I always want my report tomorrow morning.
What are you talking about? We spoke about it this morning. We're going to the Powells. We agreed to eat here because of your special diet, but it's their 15th anniversary. Besides, Neville will be here in a minute.
I'm too busy. I must get these papers out. And don't tell me that you're heartbroken at the prospect of being escorted by Dr. Neville Sampson. After all, isn't he the man who has caused you to forget your marriage vows?
You know as well as I do that Neville has given you absolutely no grounds for...
No grounds? That's a joke. You're both being careful because he's afraid he'll get struck off the medical register. I've told you once, and I tell you again. You leave me and lover boy is ruined. Now, you better push off. He's waiting.
I think I ought to tell you, Carl, that I advised Louise to tell you every word she exchanged with her husband.
Because modern buildings have thin walls and your neighbours might have heard it in any case?
Because if you found out later, it would make the situation seem even more suspect.
I see. Sergeant Woods.
Sir?
Open the window. It's frightfully hot in here.
Right, sir.
Sergeant, take that constable acting as sentry. Go outside and case the garden at the back. Whatever the velocity of the gun and bullet, the bullet couldn't have travelled all that distance. Should be somewhere in the rear of the house.
Very good, sir.
All right, you two. Now that I've got rid of the sergeant, who's a local man and known to you both, I want the full and complete story.
I've told you.
Doctor, you escorted Mrs. Badley to the function?
Yes, I did.
That was what time?
About 8:30.
Did you bring Mrs. Badley back to the house?
If you think...
Please, Louise. The officer's only doing his job. No, I did not.
Why?
We quarreled at the party. Louise, you shouldn't have told Derek everything. I am not going to be cited as co-respondent. It would ruin me professionally.
You weren't talking like that 3 months ago. I love you, Louise. If you were not married, I'd sweep you off your feet. Also, I took you at your word. I told Derek to unmarry me. Don't tell me you're backing out now. What happens? Do I have to wait for Derek to die before you pop the question?
I gazed at the doctor with a look of surprise. Mrs. Badley with horror. What was his motive in telling me in such graphic detail a conversation no one else would have known about, and if true, highly incriminating as far as the bereaved woman was concerned? I see. Well, what happened then?
I'll tell you what. The gallant doctor just walked out and left me to my own devices. I slept that night in the guest room.
And then?
I came back here this morning to tell my husband that lover boy has feet of clay and that I've been a fool. I was going to ask Derek to forgive me. But I realized that he was worth 10 of your police surgeons. I opened the front door expecting to see Derek in the kitchen. That's where we normally have our breakfast. The house seemed so silent. I suddenly became afraid. I went into the bedroom, and he wasn't there.
Was the bed unmade? Did it look as though it had been slept in?
No, it hadn't been slept in. And then I became really frightened. I rushed in here and saw this. But I didn't shoot Derek. Really, I didn't.
Have you any idea who did?
Well, not Neville Sampson. So long as Derek was arrived, he could just talk, not do. He didn't want Derek dead because he doesn't want to marry me. Do you, my darling heartthrob?
If you need me, I shall be at my rooms. I shall see that you get a medical report within the hour. I didn't realize you felt this way about me, Louise. It's not a good day. It's goodbye.
Ah, do you mind if I use your telephone?
Please do.
Okay.
Operations.
Car here, Ops. Speaking from Langley Street.
Yes, sir?
I want the backgrounds of Mr. and Mrs. Badley and Dr. Neville Sampson.
But he's the local police surgeon, sir.
Yes, I know. I want the body removed to our mortuary, and I'd like Dr. McPherson to take a look at the corpse. It's more than likely that the bullet passed right through the head and out of the window, as Dr. Sampson says, but I'd like our senior police surgeon to take a look for reasons which I'll explain later.
Very good, sir.
Now, I want to know whether Badley left a will and who benefits. Oh, and we're sending over to ballistics the murder weapon. It may tell us something, although there's a clear marking. It's a American Army issue, all right?
Right, sir. Shall be done.
My husband's will? That's a joke. What do you think a bank superintendent gets?
No insurance?
10,000. I don't think I'd commit a murder for that.
Are you the main beneficiary?
I think so. Unless he changed his will after I told him I was in love with that cowardly Neville Sampson.
Have you ever handled a gun?
Never. Neither did my husband.
What about Dr. Sampson?
I've never heard of him having a gun. Just can't understand it. But all I know is that I didn't shoot Derek. Really, I didn't. I never left the house until I returned this morning.
By house, you mean your friend's place?
Yes, you can ask them.
Oh, that'll be the ambulance and the print, ma'am. I suggest you go and lie down, Mrs. Badley. I'm going to take a look round. Well, Sergeant, any signs of breaking and entering?
None, sir. Whoever came into this house last night came in by the front door. Look at those windows still, sir, all newly painted, and that drain pipe is full of dirt and rust. They couldn't climb in and then clean everything up after them.
That's fair enough. But why the gleam in your eye?
This, sir, a bullet.
Oh, good man. Where'd you find that?
Oh, about half an hour ago, sir. Lying in the grass over there.
Half an hour? Well, why didn't you bring it in at once?
Well, I've been looking for the other bullet. One went through poor Mr. Badley's head and through the window pane. The first shot must have been fired wide and crashed through the upper pane of glass in the upper window. What is it, sir?
Oh, something's worrying me. Look, I think I'll go and have a word with the dead man's immediate superior.
Absolutely unbelievable. But why? Was he robbed?
No, sir. From what I've managed to gather, nothing's been taken from the house. Now, you were his general manager. There's always the possibility that a bank superintendent might have come across something wrong in somebody's books. A dishonest cashier, a check.
There's no need to go on, Inspector. If you think that Derek Badley was shot dead by somebody who feared exposure, you're very much mistaken. We're in July. Nothing of that nature is undertaken other than during the months of May and November. If we have got a crook on the staff of one of our branches, the local manager might find out, but not Badley.
I understand from his wife he was working on what she called reconciliation.
Yes, Badley was. It got nothing to do with audits or an analysis of individual books. It merely means summarizing various objectives set out by individual branch managers for the half-yearly annual general meeting.
So you don't think that the killer could be an employee silencing his superintendent by shooting him to death?
No. As I said before, it wasn't Derek Badley's function at this time of the year. You look disappointed, Inspector.
Well, it was a possible motive. Do you know Mrs. Badley well? Do you know her socially?
Well, we all belong to the Kingston and Surbiton Social Club. There was a bit of gossip about her and Dr. Sampson, but I can't see either of these committing murder.
One never sees anyone committing murder until the surprising act occurs. Well, certainly a skilled medical practitioner would not resort to such a clumsy way of destroying human life. Much more sophisticated methods than that.
And Mrs. Badley?
Our own senior police surgeon confirms Dr. Sampson's diagnosis. Badley was shot between 10 p.m. and midnight. There are at least 10 people who will corroborate her statement that she was at the house where the party was being held at that time, and her host says that she retired to the guest room at about 1:45. So she's in the clear. Well, thank you, Mr. Murray. If you do think of anything, you can always get me at the yard. Carp?
Operations here, Inspector?
Yes, Ops.
X-Branch reports that Dr. Sampson's servant confirms that he returned home at 10:10. She's his housekeeper, and says that she saw the car driven into the garage, looked out of the window, and saw the doctor close the garage door and walk into the house.
10:10, you say?
Sir?
Well, he could have sneaked out of the house again, but I don't think he's our man. All too clumsy a murder for a police surgeon to indulge in. I wonder who was on the Badley front. What do we know about the dead man?
Been married for 12 years, sir. No children, no financial worries. Highly thought of in the neighbourhood.
Yes, yet he lets somebody into his house who puts a 45 bullet right through his head. I don't know, perhaps it was the doctor. Perhaps this exchange of heated words between Mrs. Badley and he was a charade for my benefit. It wasn't robbery. But then what was the motive?
Sir, you don't think there was some other lover boy?
Could be. Hobbs could well be. No. This is merely groping in the dark. Somebody had a motive for killing him and leaves the murder weapon for all to see. Of course. What an idiot. There was I looking for a lead and it's staring at me.
Why, sure, Chief Inspector. We were able to trace this gun within 3 hours. It was issued to Private Hank Gadsby of the 23rd 4th Division at our camp in Byfleet. Our MPs picked him up outside one of your public houses called the Duchess of Warwick. 3 parts shot to the wind. He was without his gun, minus his wedding, and ready to fight the entire U.S. Army.
What happened to him?
He was serving 12 months detention.
When did this happen?
That's all here, 4 months ago, on April 3rd.
Now, listen, Mr. Gadsby, I have nothing to do with the military, but this is your gun?
Sure, it's my gun. That was crazy. You know, I've been in a dozen joints that night. Somebody must have slipped me a Mickey Finn.
Nobody could have taken that gun out of your holster. You did flog it, didn't you? Look, please, Mr. Gadsby, you're serving your punishment. You're not on trial now, and a decent man has been shot dead with it.
You're kidding.
No, I promise you I'm not. So, you were under the influence, as they say. You had no more money for drink. Now, please try and remember. I give you my word, you won't be involved.
You say a guy was murdered?
Yes. If I can find out what happened to your gun...
I don't know. Yes, I do. I didn't say so with the court-martial. It would have made it worse for myself. I was in this gaming joint.
Can you remember the name of it?
No, I can't. No, wait a minute. We went over Chelsea Bridge, and then we came to a kind of power station. And a few yards down on the right, and it was at the back of a barber shop.
Slim Foster. Did you hear anyone call Slim?
Yeah, we were playing blackjack. As I say, I was stoned. Now, I said to this guy, look, I'm finished, kaput. All I've got is a 45, and he gives me, I don't remember, but £10, maybe.
I don't know what he's talking about, boss.
Oh, come off it, Slim. You and I have known each other since I was pounding the beat. I'm not here under the gaming act. This is murder, don't you understand? And if you don't come clean, I'll have you up as an accomplice. Well?
Okay. I thought Jack came out of stir a few weeks ago. Said there was a guy inside who'd pay 100 for art robbed.
Well, go on.
Well, I don't know what he wanted it for, I swear to you. Came here one day with Jack. I gave him the rod and he gave me a century. I split it with Jack. Jack knew him well inside. Name's Pritchard. Did 5 years for embezzlement.
Carr?
Operations here, Inspector. Daniel William Pritchard, sentenced to 5 years hard labour for embezzlement. Chief witness for the prosecution. Listen to this, sir. The bank's inspector, Derek Badley.
Well. The plot does thicken, doesn't it? Find him. Have him pulled in. Yes?
Hi, Professor. Why am I being hounded? What is all
this? I'll tell you what it's about, Mr. Pritchard. Murder. I'm holding you for the murder of Derek Badley.
Oh, man, I haven't murdered anyone.
I've been reading the newspaper account of the trial. At that time, Badley was an inspector. You went to the same school together. You went to him to say that you'd been dipping into the bank's funds. You pleaded with him for time, instead of which you were reported to head office and arrested.
Well, that's old history. What's that got to do with me now?
Don't you read the papers? I've said I was holding you for murder. You don't seem surprised. Why should you, since you murdered the man?
As I read about that. I didn't shoot him, and you can't prove it.
Come through, Slim. Is this the man who bought the 45?
That's him.
It's not true. It's not true. I never saw this man in my life.
All right, Sergeant, take him away.
Bit of luck, that postman seeing someone answer to Pritchard's description coming out of the house. Thought old Badley was a fool to let him in.
He probably had no option. Probably heard the doorbell, went to see who his visitor was. He was faced with Pritchard pointing a 45 at him. All we have to do now is prepare the necessary documents for the Director of Public Prosecutions. All the odds and ends have been tied up.
Except one thing, sir. Where's the other gun? Or the other bullet?
What gun? What bullet?
Well, sir, when I entered that study, there was a dead man on the floor, a bullet through his head, and 2 bullet holes through the window panes.
Well?
Well, sir, the defense counsel are going to make great play with the mystery of the missing gun and the missing bullet. He'll say, how do we know that it was that particular 45 that shot Bradley?
Oh, come on, Sergeant. You're a good police officer. That's easily explained. Is it, listener? Can you explain it? One gun, one bullet fired from that gun, and yet 2 separate bullet holes. The explanation's simple. If you remember, it was a very hot night. And yet, when we arrived on the scene of the crime, the windows were closed. When Pritchard fired, the top window had been lowered so that it was flush with the lower pane. That's why the bullet penetrated both panes together. When Pritchard closed the window, there were holes visible. 2 of them. 1 on the upper window pane and 1 on the lower. The wretched man was put away for life, as he deserved.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our epic casebook.